The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you go to Galilee today, you can see a boat that might have belonged to Simon and Andrew, or perhaps to James, John, and their father. I've seen it. It's a real boat discovered deep in the thick mud of the Sea of Galilee, one year when there was a drought so severe that the Galilean waters receded further than they ever had before. The wood of the boat, its nails, shards of pottery from a cooking pot and a lantern have all been carbon dated to somewhere in the time frame of 50 BC to 50 AD. Of course, that is precisely the time when Jesus walked along the Galilean seashore, precisely the time he encountered Simon and Andrew and James and John. And whether or not that little boat actually belonged to those particular fishermen, it is surely just like the boats they left behind when they encountered Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Being in the Holy Land is stunning. Walking in the places Jesus walked, standing on the hillside where he preached those beautiful Beatitudes, praying in the places he lived and died are just a few of the many holy experiences I had there. But seeing that boat was a very different kind of holy experience for me. When I saw that boat, all I could think about was the very real lives of those fishermen. Those first followers were people who made their living through hard but steady work, people who were able to care for their families, not in any sort of extravagant way, but well enough to feel safe and secure and to hope for even a better future. They were all in the family fishing business, and they counted on each other to shoulder the load and to share whatever small fortune came to them. And while the catch wasn't always predictable, I imagine their lives were pretty predictable, at least until Jesus showed up. When Jesus met up with Simon and Andrew and James and John, he called them away from their very real boats, their very real nets, their very real lives. He called them into something totally unexpected and unknown. And what utterly astounds me is that they went with him. I don't know about you, but when I think about that very real boat submerged in the mud of the Sea of Galilee and those very real men who just went to work one morning hoping for an excellent catch, it's hard to imagine that they would just up and leave everything, everything, to follow a man who claimed they'd become fishers of people rather than fishers of fish. Except that it was Jesus. And while they had no idea how it would all turn out, I don't even think they had any idea of who Jesus really was. Still, they dropped everything, really, everything, and they followed. On a recent walk, a walk by the sea, not the Sea of Galilee, but our very own Salish Sea, I found myself talking with a friend who was thinking about pursuing an entirely new vocation, even, as she would say, at her advanced age. There will be training involved and changes involved, and it all feels terribly inconvenient, and still, she can't stop thinking about it. So I told her the story of my own vocational change, a vocational change I made at just about the age she is. My friend marveled at the fact that I had left a pretty lucrative job, a job that required a 6-minute commute to an office that overlooked the Winslow Wharf Marina, then across the waters of Puget Sound, and across to the Cascade Range. A job running a research institute that did good work with good people, where I worked 4 days a week and was in charge of everything but the science. How could you do it, she asked me. I mean, really, how could you leave your home and your job and your decades-long life on Bainbridge Island and move to a noisy and tiny apartment with no windows in the kitchen? I was called, I answered. And really, it was as simple as that. I don't mean that the work was simple, or the move was simple, or that the leaving was simple, or that the apartment living was simple. It wasn't. Unless you be lulled into thinking I'm some sort of perfect example of a disciple. If you've been in church the last couple of weeks, you've heard me talk about how awful I felt, about how badly I wanted to turn around and come home. But I couldn't. I needed to stay, and I knew it. It was very hard, but I did it. And I did it by the grace of the God who loves me and who called me into a life that was richer and more glorious than anything I ever could have asked or imagined. The God who called me into a life of ever-deepening relationship, not just with God, but with all the people I encounter, and particularly with the people whom I serve. I hadn't any idea that I would be back on Bainbridge Island with all of you when I set out for Berkeley. What I did know was that God wanted abundant life for me, and that if I surrendered, I might just get to have that abundant life. And I do. I love this life. I love this work more than anything I could have imagined. And I think the reason I love it so much is because the life I've been called into brings me ever deeper into relationships. Relationship with God and relationship with you. I gave up a lot to have this life, but what I gave up doesn't hold a candle to what I've received. You see, I don't actually believe that God calls us out of our lives into something strange or unrecognizable, into lives that are counter to our own unique and God-given natures. I believe that God calls us into new life, into life richer and deeper and far more abundant than anything we could ever even think up. It isn't always easy. Actually, it's often not easy. Yet once we've decided to respond to God's call, there really is no turning back. We may well lose things when we listen and respond to God's call to us. Things like prestige, or power, or money, or control, or the illusion of being right. But what we gain far surpasses anything lost. Think about those fishermen on the beach. Follow me and I will make you fish for people. Follow me and I will make you disciples. Follow me into the messianic community. Those were the words Jesus used to speak the church into being. By calling those very ordinary men in the midst of their very ordinary lives to do something extraordinary, Jesus spoke the church into being. Do you see what's happening here? Jesus sees these men. He really sees them. They are fishermen. And when Jesus tells them they will fish for people, he is recognizing who they really are. Not who he wishes they would be. Not who they might have been. Not even who they could be if they were at their very best. Jesus used the gifts of four very ordinary fishermen to begin the church. He didn't do that by calling them to be ambassadors for the kingdom. He didn't do it by calling them to start a new church. He didn't even call them disciples. He called them to be people fishers. He called them into relationship. Not into work, not into new jobs, not into evangelism, but into relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with one another, relationship with everyone they would encounter on their incredible journey with Jesus. Follow me, he said to four perfect strangers on a beach. But on their last night together, he called them his friends. Jesus called those ordinary people, right smack in the middle of their ordinary lives, to be extraordinary simply by calling them into relationship. It's the way he calls us, too. We aren't necessarily called to leave our homes or our jobs or our families, but we are all called into relationships that are rich and real and honest and transparent and tender and vulnerable and true. We are all called to share each other's joys and heartaches and to be with one another through all of it. We are all called to share the load and to share in whatever small or large fortune comes our way. Just like Simon and Andrew and James and John on the beach, God calls us into real relationships with all the people we encounter as we journey through life with Jesus. I think we often wonder what God is calling us to do. And that is a fine question to hold in mind and heart. But I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would change for us if rather than asking ourselves, what is God calling me to do, we asked ourselves, who is God calling me into deeper relationship with? It's a more difficult question, isn't it? It's so much easier to do stuff than it is to be deeply relational. But God is always calling us more deeply into relationship, not in the abstract, but in our very real lives. So I wonder, where is God calling you into more authentic relationship? and with whom? Is it someone at work? Is it a family member who troubles you? Is it the man you see at the TNC parking lot entrance, or the scared and sad kid at Safeway? Is it your spouse, your child, your congressperson, your neighbor? Is it somebody at church? God calls us in so very many ways, but God's call is always the call to relationship. We are God's own beloveds, and we have been called children of God. Just like John the Baptist, just like Andrew and Peter and James and John, we are beloved children of God, called to make God's love known to everyone we encounter. Because you see, when we know ourselves to be God's own beloved, when we believe that God really will use what we might feel like our very ordinary gifts, when we recognize that it isn't what we do, but who we are that changes the world, well, when we do those things, we truly will have answered God's call to follow. Amen.